This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mary Meeker Report. And we're going to be talking about interactive games. And I think this was the surprising part of the report for me, because I know pretty much nothing about gaming. But when you look at it in the context...
Mike, you look like you should be a gamer.
I do.
But I think I picked that up as you were saying it. You're like, what the f*** are we doing now? I'm introducing this, but I have nowhere to go. I'm done.
Nowhere to go. But you know what? I do have somewhere to go on this one, because it's become so ubiquitous. But Brett, you described exactly how this report talks about gaming, because it has become all pervasive. How would you summarize it in a very short?
Well, in a very short way, I'm going to look at the gamer to my right, because in studio with us is Justin Kutsier again.
Oh,
yay!
And I mean, he's changing the genre of gaming by wearing a pink jersey.
So, do you have a Russian's friend? What do they have to say about your clothing style?
Do you have any other clothes?
I can take the pink jersey off.
no, please don't.
So tell us about what you think gaming's about, because yeah, you're a new time gamer, right?
Yeah, I mean, 40 plus and suddenly I'm gaming.
I thought you were going to say 50 plus.
No. That's why I can get away with a pink jersey for now.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think the thing with gaming is, cool, there's games as everyone refers to them, right? But I think there's also this idea of gaming and how it's moving into the sort of mainstream corporate world, right? So if you think about Vitality and the Vitality program, that's basically a game, right?
And level up, exactly. Vitality points.
And that's the point. So a lot of corporates just don't understand how games have this kind of, for lack of a better expression, sort of challenge and response kind of world where, you know, you're constantly being challenged to get better at the game. And so with taking those principles of gaming, if you apply them correctly, you can start getting that sort of buy into your product whereby having the right incentives and the right challenges, customers start to engage with the product more and more, to a point where, I mean, I saw an email this week, a friend of mine was showing me, where they'd actually kicked out a guy that was in their group in Vitality earning points, and they'd now opened it up for anyone to apply to be a member so that they could collectively...
This is Jack. He's the TFC. He's out.
But not just that. The email even contained why they'd kicked the previous guy out, with screenshots and everything, and what was expected of the new member and the application process.
Well, it wasn't any of us, because we got our new shoes from Dr. Craig Nozzle, and we're loving them. So.
Exactly. Craig, you're a rock star. Yeah, thanks, you know, bro. I think you are. So actually, to your point, you that the whole theme on the Mary Meeker report around gaming hinges around how Moore's Law has kind of been progressing and accelerating, and what gaming has done to even accelerate cloud computing, mm-hmm. That social kind of element to sharing, and they refer to it as Zuckerberg's Law, which I don't know if it's laughable or real. And then
Zuckerberg follows laws.
What's most important is that balance, as you were saying about the vitality of, am I being challenged or am I bored? And that path between boredom and being challenged is around failing. You've got to be challenged enough to fail, but not challenged so much that you fail so often you get bored. Huh. And the algorithms all built around that. And I think that's a big trend that's coming through there.
Mm, yeah. Right. Sorry, I'm like jumping up and down like a little kid over here. Like, come on, like one of those notification bubbles that just doesn't go away. It's about competition, and competition will always yield better results the more and more you compete.
Yeah.
And as if you look at, I mean, the one amazing thing they've got here is the 45 years between Pong and these ESL tournaments, these champions, these Dota 2s and all these things that are happening with millions of people watching.
But do the Pong in stereo? That's not bad.
I think not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Eh?
Put all of those,
but it's a lot slower than it. Jeez, if it was that fast when I was playing Pong, I probably would have played a lot more games. Like, And that's the point, though, because back then that was as fast as you could play Pong.
The processing power. Yeah. Exactly.
And then the Sinclair Mave came out, and like maybe slightly faster, but like
you see, this is where beer pong came from. Because I just got so bored with the Pong.
Screw
game.
This! I got some cups, bitches. Let's go.
The challenge wasn't high enough.
No, exactly.
Do you know what we need to make this game more enjoyable? Beer.
But beer makes everything more enjoyable.
So you fast forward. You fast forward from Pong. So the CRT screen starts to go away. We get the LED screen, so we got better visuals, which means we can see, we can do more stuff. Now the mouse interface that we're shooting with on our first person shooter needs to improve so that when we can see the guy at the other end of a canyon, we can still do the headshot. Yeah. So it's driving progressive technology upgrades because of this.
A bit like pornography, right?
But exactly. Why do you think we have 4K screens?
No, exactly.
4K and screens, not 4Play screens.
Okay, there we go. So I was just about to ask.
Yes.
4Play screens are actually your smart devices.
Oh, I thought those were your smart screens.
Did you say scream or screen?
No, I said screen. You heard scream. So let's just keep the screen clean.
Back to things we can do with the joystick. When you played Pong, Mr. Brett Sinclair, because yes. Michael Kahn, the self-confessed ungamer, or even Justin.
Yeah.
How did you play Pong?
Slowly.
And where did you play Pong?
Where did I
play? The TV game.
The TV game. On my Atari.
With?
With a knob.
With a friend. So.
That's what I meant. There's,
my friend who was a knob.
Turned out.
Great choice of friends. I see it hasn't changed much till today.
No, it hasn't.
But so you're sitting in your lounge, there's two mates, and you've both got your little game paddle, and you're playing Pong. And that's where it started. But now, fast forward again, 45 years, and people are playing LAN games, they're playing online games, they're playing games against people in different continents. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to have that low latency game experience, you need to make sure that you've got fast internet, you've got fast computing.
Yeah.
On top of the 4K screens, on top of the 1200 DPI, even higher mouse things. So it makes sense that it improves. And it will continue to do so until we get into a place where holograms or real is happening.
So we start taking the impact of machine learning, right? That's continuously learning, making games better. And that's a key trend that's coming through a report, is that the evolution of the game type from solving puzzles that are impacting the pattern recognition kind of space to planning workflows, which is kind of impacting the resource efficiencies, to completing projects. And I started thinking about, that's awesome for my kids. I'm suddenly going, you know what, Matt? Spend more time on your phone, pal.
Absolutely. Problem solving, critical thinking.
Well, I think what it does come down to is, you know, gaming's not about points, banners, and leaderboards, which is typically where marketers look at this from. This is about understanding the complexity of human emotions and the things that stimulate and motivate us from an internal perspective and an external perspective. But I'm going to be really interested to see where this world of gaming goes, because the underlying technology is becoming ubiquitous, where we're looking at sport, where we're looking at meditation, whatever it is. But the one point that came out for me, and it comes, and I'm connecting the world of media in the report. Imagine this. You're now having a Netflix engagement. You're watching a movie, and you now open up a virtual world that's driven off Netflix that then gets driven into a Facebook kind of world that then takes you into a retail experience that brings you back into Netflix. You know, you see how this interactiveness starts happening. Yeah. I mean, it becomes, I mean, it was kind of like, geez, is that possible? You know, when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, it actually is. Moore's Law.
The one cool thing about the game development and the game society, or the subculture that is gamers, is that there are a lot more girls playing these days.
Fascinating.
And that's great.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's such a subculture anymore. Right? Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, it's becoming normal standard. I mean, I've just admitted to being 40 plus and suddenly getting into gaming, right? Not at the level of the serious gamers, but my wife will disagree.
Oh, my wife is probably the most serious gamer in our household. And my son, literally, I went and checked how much we've just gone fiber. We're chewing 447 gigabits of data at the moment, and it's all through.
Is that a day or
watching
a month?
A month.
Okay.
So on average, 14 gigs a day are being consumed either with my wife playing games or my son literally watching other people playing games. Whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Twitch.
Your wife needs a job, bro.
Well, have you met me?
Yeah, I was about to say. Do you realize she's married to you?
Hard work.
Had to get that in before you extended.
I just lay down in front of the bus and took it.
And then I didn't even pick up the toilet seat.
Why does the toilet seat always get into these shows?
Stop abusing it, baby.
So, an interesting set as well. I mean, if you look at gaming again, we're talking about how it's progressed. 45 years is a long time to have gaming and to have track record of how gaming has progressed and how it's changed. Like, there's not a lot of things these days that we're talking about how rapidly things are changing. That's actually tracked back 45 years to say, oh, that was a big change. But we've got things where it's now as exciting or entertaining to watch a game.
Yeah.
Or not even watch the game, watch the people playing the game, as it is to even play the game. And because of that...
PewDiePie, baby, PewDiePie.
And because of that, it's now a broadcast favorite. Yep. People are broadcasting it. Now, we've seen that the home screens, the consumer screens in their homes, have to match the quality of the screens the gamers are on. So if I'm gaming in 4K, I want to see it in 4K.
See, I don't get this. What makes people... Because, I mean, my kids do this, and I look at it, and I don't get it. I mean, I don't play games, so I'm not a gamer, but... I do understand the world of human motivations.
You're talking from a dad who's about to spend a lot of money on a 4K screen. Hey?
No. There's going to be lots of tears in my eye, in my household. But what is driving this? Watching someone else play a game. I mean, it's mindless.
Because you learn from it.
Don't you sit and watch?
What do you learn?
No, seriously. Why do you watch golf?
Yeah, don't you sit on a weekend and watch a guy hit the little white ball or 15 guys chase it?
Yeah,
you don't watch sport at all.
No, it's less interesting than pong because you only get one. And then you pretend like you can still see the ball, and you're like, "Yeah, it's a great static shot.
Great shot."
Well, you have literally hundreds of millions of people around the world doing that every day. You're just talking about a different generation that now have a different sport that they enjoy. Right?
I mean, actually, it's quite hilarious. I mean, I've watched a couple of PewDiePie sessions. These guys are funny. I mean, it is beyond PG on the language they use, but in my household.
Yeah.
That went out the window, yeah.
And now that there are more chicks playing, you might actually pick up a chick online in the role-playing game.
So how do you do role-playing sex?
I don't know.
Well, we're getting into virtual reality, which is actually...
Ask the guy in the pink jersey.
Can we swap seats?
Justin, I'm only brave because I'm on this side of the table, bro.
You see, I'm happily married. I'm confident with my sexuality. That's amazing.
I have pink jersey envy. I think that's the problem.
So don't you love where the space is going? So they talk a lot about this whole ranking and reputation. Yeah. And it's really driving this, I think, what is a healthy sense of competition, right? Mm-hmm. So think about the social rankings that happen. It's always encouraging us to be more competitive. And driving us. And I must admit, I'm going through an interesting phase at the school where, in the girls' school where my daughter goes, they're trying to take out competition.
I was just going to say.
Which I find interesting. Right?
Ooh.
No,
participation points.
Yay!
Bullshit.
That's crazy, right?
Excuse me while I voice my opinion.
This idea of becoming more competitive is what's creating all the pain and suffering in this world. I just don't buy into it.
You think not being more competitive?
I'm just looking at the mediocre guy across the table. Cooperative and collaborative as opposed to this idea of we have to kill to
But
to,
yet
to
we keep preaching, and we're going to disagree here, because we keep preaching innovation and progressive thought, and yet if 100%. We don't have competitive, why we would never run into any problems. Sometimes the problem is a person.
I think that simplifies it, and I think if we look at the world of innovation and we're deviating, is really what Justin does is it's the ability to really solve proper problems and the ability to take a product and really make it work for the customer. But you don't have to beat the crap out of someone to do it. And I think
you don't have to beat the crap out of anybody.
It's about being a sports person.
No. But the world of competition
is about how you
one
play
wins
the game,
and
it's
one
about
loses.
Who wins.
No.
Do I get the wrongs?
Yes and no. I think you can have winners at different levels. I must admit.
I'm a winner. You're a loser.
I'm not sure that's the way.
However, we started.
I don't know if Mike's winding us up right now. I'm not sure.
But we started. I mean,
no, but I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I think this world of competition creates a huge amount of the problems we experience.
But Justin brought up a point about gamification in the real world. Things like vitality and incentive loyalty points.
Yes, 100%.
Now, that's competition.
Yeah.
It might not be competition directly with another human. It might be competition against your own set goals, but it's competition. Competition is important.
Well, it depends how you define
it. We're naturally ambitious as a species.
You can define that as personal performance, or which is how I would define it. I wouldn't say I compete with myself. I mean, I know I talk to myself and I'm as schizophrenic as all hell.
You can't measure performance if you aren't competitive. Yeah. I'm going to put it that.
Well, I tell you what,
then you're just doing something.
And that's also cool.
Yeah. I think
every car would have a fifth gear and no other.
Yeah. I think generally speaking, saying competition's about someone winning and someone losing is also maybe oversimplification.
It could be.
So absolutely there's competition where one wins and one loses, and that's the basis of that competition. And so I agree with you, that's maybe not always healthy, but...
is gaming breaking society any more than it already is broken?
But yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
I think...
I mean, that becomes a pretty critical point.
I mean, you just, again, look at how many people support the various sports out there, and sports is definitely about a winner and a loser.
Yes. The thing, though, maybe that's why I don't watch it.
Yeah, but I think, though, Mike, is that often people celebrate the winner without necessarily taking a knock at the loser, you know, in some sports. Not necessarily true in all sports.
Yeah, look, we could debate the point until the cars come home, because I don't agree with you.
And I don't agree with you.
Yeah, no, and that's what makes this show cool.
But now we're competing, essentially, in essence. We are literally competing for opinions.
I'm going to get one of those. Like, phone
we are stuck in one of your vicious inception circles.
I'm desperately looking for another point on Mary Meekers.
I'm also worried about complacency when there isn't that sort of drive. Right. Yeah, so that's the thing, is how do you create the drive, maybe without the competition.
We're not going to get into a conversation about universal basic income right now.
I was about to say, when is Mike going to say universal basic income?
It had to come. So I'm going to step in here. One of the key things from the actual report that I love is looking back at where a lot of core features have come from in the gaming environment. And some of the things that I'm really excited about are things like, how you sell online. How you you create market spaces, all originated from early kind of gaming sessions,
simulation games,
being able to do software updates over the years. They've really pushed the boundaries.
Second Life, wasn't that like a whole big proof of concept to see if e-commerce was even going to be a thing?
Was even going to happen? Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
My absolute favorite, and if we localize it, is literally how messaging evolved. And they've used a whole lot of examples. But the best example is Mixit, right?
Yeah.
Mixit started as a gaming environment, and no one really played the game. Everyone used it to communicate.
But then eventually people got beaten up.
Correct. What Mixit did.
It happened. I mean, sorry, guys. Like, that's their case study.
Yes, absolutely. And without going into the competition, I mean, when you were talking about gaming earlier, a large part of the gaming is the socialization around gaming.
Absolutely. So if I look at what I'm doing, yes, there's elements of competition, but absolutely, guys are chatting and slowly but surely you're developing relationships with people that you've never met, probably will never meet, but already you're starting to get a sense of, hey, this guy, you know, he seems to have some challenges personally, doesn't necessarily have a great income. This guy seems young, he's studying. And you're interacting with people you normally wouldn't. They're certainly not your mates. I don't think I come from that world where, your whole life is online.
If the Russians don't speak English, you got a problem.
And those are his mates on the game he's playing at the moment.
So this is the thing, right? There's still a social element there. You're still getting to know people. Even though there is that element of competition, and sure enough, you try and bomb the Russians. But other than that, everyone's still quite amicable, right? I'm not going to show you now because it doesn't work on a podcast, but I've got messages.
You looked
of
down
guys.
When you said that, which got me even more worried.
There's not much to show, don't worry. Anyway, messages back and forth between myself and people in other clans where, like, you know, I apologize for, hey, sorry, I did this, and guy comes back out and stress, it's just a game, and so forth. So you're still getting a lot of that human element in there.
Well, you're talking to Mike there, and you're like, screw you, Mike, it is a game.
You'll die. No, I will not sell you a pig. I will slaughter my pig and you can have the ratio. No, but if you look at, we all stream video at some point.
Yes.
Thank you, gaming. Mm. Thank you. Thank you for driving a technology that allowed for better video processing to happen. And low GPUs. Latency.
So GPUs. Even the developing world, development world, so software development.
Yeah.
So if you look at the gamers, because of the high sort of resource processing requirements, they were forced to develop techniques that made their code really efficient.
Middle out, baby.
Yeah.
The other thing is also trying, using parallel processing. So because you'd have your CPU on your motherboard, and then you'd have the CPU on the graphics card. And so gamers would write code that spoke specifically to the graphics card and specifically, so parallel
genius.
Programming.
Right? Yeah. Genius.
And then everyone else started picking that up. So the whole gaming space has affected so many different facets of technology as well as the corporate business world that people just don't even realize take for granted these days.
Well, this is a critical point that does come out, and if I could just read straight out of it, perhaps interactive gaming, evolution, growth, and usage has been helping prepare society for the ongoing rise of human-computer interaction. We look at the world of AI, we look at a lot of what is going on outside of gaming, and gaming certainly seems to be one of the critical drivers.
Yeah. Well, where did AI bots come from?
No, 100%. But also, if you look at all of the leading tech guys at the moment, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Reid Hoffman, all of these guys come out of this gaming environment. And it's to your point you made earlier, Brett, a lot of the original work that was laid in the gaming environment is coming through, and it was seeded and is represented in today's gaming.
I mean, what I find fascinating is the impact it has had on society. So you're starting to see players getting recognized in the gaming world and being bought and traded in the real world in football, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes for real value.
For real value. Yeah. And, it's affecting how people train. It's affecting the betting and the bookies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's fascinating.
You look at the psychological forces behind this. I mean, there's a lot of aspirational things to being able to say, well, I want to play like Lionel Messi, but I'm not going to be Lionel Messi. But I can buy FIFA 2017 and I can go, play in Barcelona FC and make sure that this happens.
100%.
Nobody wants to play for Argentina, so maybe just Barcelona will work. But, you get the opportunity to be aspirational.
Who's Barcelona?
Guys who bath alone.
Barcelona. And on that bombshell. I think we've kind of hit time.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I think there's amazing stuff.
The kind of big wrap-up I'm seeing, and it goes right back to your point, Justin, is that even in business, we're starting to see gamification. And it's spanning across everything from personal education. Finance, in acons, in education, in healthcare, in how you train pilots.
Yeah.
I mean, this world is just everywhere.
It's ever want to get competitive with you over a pizza.
No, don't. That's where I'm happy to do that.
Game on.
Don't get between me and my pizza.
So I think it's Friday night, pizza night.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we're in a crazy, exciting space right now, right?
Yeah.
The platforms are driving the scale. We always talk about our platforms are scale. Mm. The figures are shining through in this report.
And broadcasters are getting involved.
Audiences
are growing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We're seeing these.
Advertising is happening.
Complete different shift in this space. And I think
absolutely
anyone who's not taking e-gaming or gamification or anything around the technology that has enabled this from a social sharing point of view,
and
game over, right?
And a human motivation point of view, because a lot of it does come through the intrinsic internal locus of motivation.
So did you use the word locus?
I feel like we've got...
I just threw that in here just to...
Will Green. With his fancy
I am Beck Pentameters.
I think the gamers have figured out sort of behavioral science and behavioral economics long before the business world has. And the business world only now cottoned into it. Gamers have figured out a long time ago. So coming back to your point earlier, Brett, about the sort of boredom versus challenge, right? That's inherent in us as humans, right? So how do we learn to walk, right? By falling over a few times. But we see other humans walking, so we know it's possible, so we persist. If the fall was really hard and we didn't see anyone else walking around, suddenly the challenge would become too hard and we wouldn't develop. And gamers have figured that stuff out.
We have to talk about this more in another episode of the Futurology Show.
So, guys, I think this has been an absolutely great session.
Wow.
We've got another couple of sessions to cover all the other elements in this report.
I mean, what Mary Meeker said.
Absolutely fascinating. So, hashtag what Mary Meeker said. In the tone of gaming, I think we should go out to a cheer.
One, woo! Two, three. Yay! Lone count at the end, but okay. Game over.
This is CliffCentral.com.